Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and every Monday we always talk a little bit about Texas wheat. And today I have with me Dr. Jordan Bell, a part of the Texas A&M AgriLife Research out there at Bushland. How are you doing today, Dr. Bell?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I love to talk about what's happening with Texas AgriLife Research. I know y'all put in a lot of hard work this year for some of those wheat trials and whatnot, but what's going on out there at Bushland right now?
So right now, of course, we're in the middle of our summer cropping season. We have some really good cotton research going on this year. It's been a good year for cotton. We had a very rough start. We are looking at planting dates. And our early planted cotton, you know, really looked like it might not make it. Wind injury. We had some issues with regards to cresting at the time of planting and just other issues. But it has really come around. And in comparison to our late planted cotton, it looks like that early planted cotton might come out ahead. And that's something that we continue to see. And that research is very important for producers who are looking at replanting. At what point should a producer consider replanting? You know, because of the time and the expense associated with that. So cotton's one of those crops that really remembers its birthday, and the earlier the better is what we see in this region just because we have a narrow production window. So that's something exciting there. Our forage sorghum silage research program is underway, and we do a lot of work looking at forage sorghum hybrids for this region as well as just for the whole Southwest. We have a large trial looking at over 80 different sorghum hybrids. And in addition to just hybrids, we also focus on harvest timing and silage management, just different things related to the forage sorghum because, as you know, we're in a very big forage production region. So that's key. But really, I know the number one focus right now is wheat, and we are starting to plan for our upcoming wheat season. This is something that in our region, we come in and we're harvesting wheat in late June to early July, depending on the year, and then we're turning around pretty quickly and making decisions about variety selection and even field management in just a month, month and a half window. Producers are going in early for grazing, or if we're planting later for a grain-only system or maybe silage, there's a little broader window there. But nevertheless, this is the time of year we need to start thinking about our wheat selection and what we're going to do for our wheat crop.
Well, you had a good point, Dr. Bell, about, you know, deciding, you know, the inputs and the expenses of when we need to plant. It's been a big, tough year for us with doing drought and not getting much moisture, and we can't control Mother Nature. What can you tell farmers to, you know, those wheat producers out there, you know, what varieties are doing best out there for this drought tolerance if we don't get any more moisture for this winter wheat crop coming up this next year?
So when we look at crop water use, total crop water use with our wheat crop, we have been evaluating that in our Bushland trials and in focusing also on the soil water extraction. And what we have seen is that varieties that have the TAM-112 lineage, the TAM-112 is one of these wheat varieties that has been around for quite a while. And it's not on our picks list because we have varieties that have come in and replaced it. But nevertheless, it is one that has shown to have a very solid history. It has a very deep root system. So TAM-112 is a variety that has really deep soil water extraction, can help a producer get through a dry period. West Spread 4792 is another one that has shown to have some deep soil water extraction and really does well in those situations also. TAM-113 is one that I really like for emerging under tough conditions. And so that's one, though, that's really better placed only for our dryland systems. It just doesn't have the upper end yield potential that some of the varieties have on irrigated ground. But really, when we look at wheat, there's still a very small difference between varieties when it comes to the ability of different varieties to extract more water than the other. Usually we're looking at just a couple of inches or less. So in some years, it's not even statistically different. But what we do see is, from a producer standpoint, is just the timeliness of planting. And wheat's one of these crops that we often dust it in with the hopes of getting rain, but it's really best to plant when we have moisture. And much of the Panhandle received a very large swath of rainfall last weekend, mm-hmm. and so there's some good soil moisture out there. And even though it's a little early, it's still not too early to be thinking about field management. With these fields, we're going to see a flush of weeds come on because it's been very dry. But how are we going to manage those weeds? Are we going to come in and plow it up? Because if we plow it up, we're going to lose all the moisture that's in there, and we're really going to reduce our ability to get this wheat crop established. Herbicides become the most effective option for that. But if we're looking at a herbicide for that, then we also have the cost. And I know that's something that everybody has on their mind right now, is the cost of inputs, the cost of production. So, you know, it really does go back to, you know, what's going to work in your budget, what is your yield potential? What's your objective? And I do think if a producer is looking at getting into a field early and getting some fall forage established, it's probably best that we do consider not getting in there and aggressively plowing up that moisture, so that there's the opportunity to get it established and hopefully we have some more rainfall. I have visited with producers who have considered going ahead and breaking out drills just a little early and going ahead and starting planting because they know there's enough moisture to get this crop up. And one of the things we know about wheat is that wheat can shut down in the fall and it's going to go dormant during the winter. And our drought is forecasted to persist throughout this fall. So this La Nina is not going to break in the next few months, even though we've had some recent rainfall. But if we get winter precipitation and timely spring moisture, that wheat will definitely come out of dormancy and have the moisture to really take off. So you know, there's an opportunity, in, you know, at least to get it established. Now, of course, you get that crop established, that plant is using moisture this fall. But if it dries out and you're not planting till October, well, then it was just wasted moisture anyway. And at least you have the cover on the ground to keep that ground from blowing. So lots of considerations. And there's always, you know, it's a balance. You know, what's good for one producer is not always good for another producer. And likewise, what's good on one producer's field is not good for another field. So there's always considerations and balances that have to be accounted for.
Well, not too long ago, we had a field day out there back, I think the end of May at Texas AgriLife. And I went out there and we looked at some of the varieties out there, talked a lot about, you know, each one. And we talked about later on that you'd have the results of, you know, which ones, you know, turned out the best, both on the forage and both of, you know, quality wise, what looked the best. How did things result out and pan out from that field day, both on, you know, all the varieties and even on that dry land portion?
So our dry land, are you referring to the USDA dry land, their conservation bench demonstration comparing tillage and rotation with TAM 113?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I don't have those yield results with me, but that is something that I'm actually going to be talking about at our upcoming wheat meetings. We have one coming up next week in Perryton, the Wheat Heart wheat program, and that's an annual program up in Perryton, and then there's also going to be a program next week in Groom, and so I will be sharing that data there as well. Our dry land variety trial at Bushland, we actually did not take to harvest. And so We had extreme variability between our plots. We had a large portion of our field was blown out. And then we also had just a series of other issues. Of course, there was extreme drought. And we also had very heavy Russian wheat aphid pressure. And that's something that we haven't seen in this region in quite a while, you know, heavy wheat, Russian wheat aphids. So we had issues with Russian wheat aphids. We had also, of course, as I mentioned, drought. I guess, you know, definitely the drought. We also had some hail on May the 8th. And then we also had fusarium root rot. So it was just kind of a series of issues. And there was just little to no yield potential out there, and the variability between plots would have been so high that it would not have been a fair comparison between varieties. That's something that we have to consider in breeding programs and variety testing, is that it's important that we all come together and we look, we're looking at small plots. And if it's not uniform, it's not a fair comparison between varieties. We're looking at a response to field conditions at that point. Or if we're under a pivot and the pivot has pressure issues and there's, you know, wavy patterns across the field like we're seeing because of just the heat and water not being able to keep up with, or the well capacity not being able to keep up with the plant's water demand, you know, at that point, that's not necessarily a fair response to these different varieties or hybrids in a field. It becomes a response to the environment or the management. So that's why in some situations we wind up not taking a trial to yield or to harvest and reporting those yields, because it's really not a good comparison. So we had 10 total trials across the panhandle this year, and we only took 4 to harvest, only one of those being a dry land trial. We had a dry land trial in Palmer County that was planted on November the 6th, and it was just the right time. There was actually a rainfall about the time we planted. We were able to get the plots up, a very nice uniform stand, and it really did well all the way until mid-April of this past year. And by the time we got to April, we were already seeing temperatures in the upper 90s. And then, you know, we get into May of this year, and we were already reaching 100 degrees at many of our field sites. So the wheat quickly dried down, quickly ran out of moisture, and we just, you know, had a very low yield potential. But nevertheless, we still took it to yield. And what we saw at that dry land site were yields from 17 bushels to 7 bushels. So right there is a 10 bushel difference. Definitely a significant difference between varieties. And that's one of the reasons why variety testing is so important, because it gives producers the ability to see, in our dry land trials, we had 29 varieties. So, you know, here are 29 different varieties side by side, and a 10 bushel difference is significant. And when you think about, especially, you know, the cost of wheat, the cost of inputs, that can really make a big difference for a producer. Now, there's always things that we have to consider when we start talking about seed selection, though. And one of the things I think is important for producers to start thinking about are, what are stewardship guidelines with seed? As a whole, most people assume that you buy wheat seed, and it is a variety, but that you can put it up and you can save it. And that is not the case with all wheat varieties anymore. There are some varieties that do have stewardship guidelines. And what that means is that you harvest that seed, you can't save that seed for next year. And that's really been one of the very positive attributes for producers, whether it's for grain or for grazing. You know, they go in and they combine and they can put up some seed for next year and carry that over, and, you know, every so many years make a variety selection rather than having to buy new seed every year. And if they're grazing, you know, horse plant a field for grazing, but maybe save a small block for seed production. And again, you know, they're not having that annual expense. So moving forward, we need to be considering stewardship guidelines and what wheat varieties can actually be put up. But I know that, of course, you know, your question is, what is the winner and what is the loser, right? So the winner, the 17 bushel, was a Lima cereal seed. It was called Helix. And that is one of the Axiom or has Axigen herbicide technology trait with that. Now, that is a variety that cannot be saved. So that's a consideration. But nevertheless, it did very well. And all of the varieties that were in the trial that had the Axigen technology did very well. Now, with that, though, I think it's important that producers realize that that herbicide, that that is tolerant to, it's, the herbicide is aggressor. And so that is not the same as the Axiom herbicide, though. There's the Axigen AX, and I've heard some people kind of confuse that with Axiom herbicides. It's different herbicide technology. But all the varieties will have the AX suffix for it, and it is Axiom wheat for aggressor herbicides. And what that does is allow producers the ability to get in and control some weedy grass species, cereal rye, and some other weedy grasses. Fortunately, in the panhandle as a whole, we don't have that problem. That's something that's used more in the rolling plains and over in Oklahoma, and that becomes more beneficial for those producers in that region. So down at the bottom of the list was actually a Texas A&M experimental variety, which is really a good thing. And it's important that we work as an agronomist, that I work with the breeding program, and that those experimental varieties are included in the trial, because that allows the breeders to pull those varieties and say, you know what, this variety might have performed well in a test under ideal conditions, but when we put it in a really tough situation like this, and it comes in at the bottom, this is not a variety that's going to be adapted to the high plains. So even though we don't want to see any of the varieties that are being developed by our local breeding program come in at the bottom, it still is good. It gives them the ability to screen and, you know, and essentially cull it. They can pull it. They can say, this is not adapted. We are not going to move this variety through to production. So, that was kind of how that panned out. Now, our irrigated location out at Bushland that you're asking about, it did okay. I mean, it would be what we might consider just a moderate irrigated site. Our trial average was 53 bushels, but we had the issues that I talked about with regards to the dry land location. We had the Russian wheat aphids. We also had confirmed barley yellow dwarf virus in that field. We had the hail on May the 8th. There was even some of the early maturing varieties that were impacted by some cold temperatures in early April. So just a kind of a series of events that, you know, every bad event kind of takes a few bushels off the top. So we wound up with more of a moderate yield there. We at that Bushland site, we had put on 13 inches of irrigation, and we wound up having 5 inches of in-season precipitation, which was really pretty good considering that from October 1st through April 1st, we only had 3/4 of an inch. So it was really dry, and that was one of the reasons why the irrigation was a little higher. There definitely wasn't the rainfall or the soil moisture to get the crop up in the fall. And so there had to be some irrigation applied in the fall. And then as the crop was coming out of dormancy in late February, really transitioning into reproductive development, again, there wasn't the moisture. So irrigation had to happen. And so, you know, we wound up receiving a little irrigation in I guess late April, early or into May to help finish off that crop. So that's kind of how that yielded. Looking at the range, though, the highest yielding variety there was right at 64 bushels, and that was Westbred 4792. And Westbred 4792 has had a very solid yield history in our trials, and that's one of the reasons why it's on our picks list. But our Texas A&M 114, TAM 114 is another one that consistently does well, and that was at the top of the list, along with a Cropland 7869 variety and just a few others that did well. And the one that's really been another good performer across fully irrigated and limited irrigated sites is Colorado State variety Canvas. A lot of the Colorado State varieties I'm reluctant to recommend in this region because they are later, which is good for grazing and good to miss a fall or a spring freeze, but they don't have the heat tolerance that our Texas A&M varieties have. But Kansas has shown to do well and compete well with our 114 variety that's been a really solid performer in this region. A lot of our producers that have been putting up seed for years still put up Texas A&M or TAM 111. And TAM 111 was historically one of the number one planted varieties in Texas, and we've seen TAM 114 is a successor to that. It has replaced 111, and that is now the number one planted variety in Texas. So a variety that is well-adapted and does very, very well in this region.
Well, Dr. Bell, it's awesome to talk a little bit about Texas wheat with you, but if anybody has any questions or needs some help with picking out some varieties or some general questions on their wheat fields, how can they get a hold of Texas AgriLife Research as well as yourself?
So they can just call our Amarillo office directly. That number is 806-677-5600, and they can put you in contact with me or with our economist or our pathologist or even our wheat breeder. He's always happy to visit with people about wheat around the region.
Well, thank you again for coming out, talking a little bit about Texas wheat and what's going to happen for the next year. Hopefully and praying it's going to be a better year than this year. But thank you again for coming out and talking a little bit about Texas wheat with us, Dr. Bell.
Thank you.
Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC Studios. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Monday.